So they took Jesus away. Carrying the cross by himself, he went to the place called Place of the Skull, in Hebrew, Golgotha. There they nailed him to the cross. Two others were crucified with him, one on either side, with Jesus between them. And Pilate posted a sign on the cross that read, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." The place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek, so that many people could read it. Then the leading priests objected and said to Pilate, "Change it from the King of the Jews to 'He said I am King of the Jews.'" Pilate replied, "No, what I have written, I have written." Then, when the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they divided his clothes among the four of them. They also took his robe, but it was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said, "Rather than tearing it apart, let's throw dice for him." This fulfilled the scripture that says, "They divided my garments among themselves and threw dice for my clothing." So that is what they did. Standing near the cross were Jesus' mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciple he loved, he said to her, "Dear woman, here is your son." And he said to this disciple, "Here is your mother." And from then on, the disciple took her into his home. Jesus knew that his mission was now finished. And to fulfill the scripture, he said, "I am thirsty." A jar of sour wine was sitting there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put it on a hyssop branch, and held it up to his lips. When Jesus had tasted it, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and released his spirit. It was the day of preparation, and the Jewish leaders didn't want bodies hanging there the next day, which was the Sabbath, and a very special Sabbath because it was the Passover. So they asked Pilate to hasten their deaths by ordering that their legs be broken. Then their bodies could be taken down. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the two men crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead, so they didn't break his legs. One of the soldiers, however, pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water flowed out. This report is from an eyewitness giving an accurate account. He speaks the truth so that you can also believe. These things happened in fulfillment of the scriptures that say, "Not one of his bones will be broken," and "They will look on the one they pierced." Afterward, Joseph of Arimathea, who had been a secret disciple of Jesus because he feared the Jewish leaders, asked Pilate for permission to take down Jesus' body. When Pilate gave permission, Joseph came and took the body away. With him came Nicodemus, the man who had come to Jesus at night. He brought about 75 pounds of perfumed ointment made from myrrh and aloes. Following Jewish burial custom, they wrapped Jesus' body with the spices in long sheets of linen cloth. The place of the crucifixion was near a garden, where there was a new tomb never used before. And so, because it was the day of preparation for the Jewish Passover, and since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there.
We thank God for his word to us as we have read it this morning from the Gospel of John. Thanks for coming here this morning, especially if you're not normally part of our church family here. We are so pleased that you are today, and we hope that as we reflect on the death of Jesus this morning, that it will mean so much to each one of us. There are riches here that it is impossible to get to the end of. It says in John's Gospel, as we have read, that when Jesus was dead, they find him and he was dead, that a spear was put into his side, and that when that spear went into him, that there was immediately a flow of water and blood that came from him. People who study these things medically tell us that is evidence that Jesus actually was dead. I'm no expert in biology, so maybe that's the point that John is making. But he's certainly making a much bigger point than that. Jesus has already spoken in this gospel about water and about blood. Jesus says in John chapter 3, "I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and of the Spirit." And in a conversation in the next chapter, John chapter 4, Jesus says to a woman, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would ask him, and he would give you living water." And Jesus says, looking at the water from the well that's in front of them, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I will give them will never thirst. This water that I give will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And Jesus makes the same claim in chapter 7, "Whoever is thirsty, let them come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, rivers of living water will flow from within them." And John, when he tells us his account of the crucifixion, he quotes from the book of Zechariah, "They will look on the one that they have pierced." And a few verses further on, it says, "On that day, a fountain will be opened to the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from their sin and their impurity." Water is basic to human life. Water is what we need to survive. And Jesus says, in terms of our real life, the life beyond our physical one, that it is from the events that we remember on this day that life flows. The spear comes in and water comes pouring out. Jesus says, "If you look to me, you will live. The one who lives and believes in me will never die," Jesus says. So today, we are here to stand in the flow. Today, we are here to receive the living water that flows from Jesus' dead body. And as he hangs on that cross, Jesus cries out, "I am thirsty." Jesus is broken. Jesus is drained so that we can have life and so we can have it to the full. The one who took water at a wedding and turned it into wine is now the one who cries out, "I am thirsty," and is given not the fine wine that he created at the wedding, but cheap vinegar. He goes through the thirst. He goes through the bitterness so that life can flow to us. And today we come here to say yes to that life. This is the core of what the Christian faith is about. So often people fall into the trap of saying it's about other things. It's about trying to be good. It's about trying to keep the rules. It's about trying to live a good life. And they're all in the mix somewhere. But the key point is that God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but should have eternal life. And blood flows from Jesus. And John's gospel also tells us that Jesus has a lot to say about blood. We were thinking about this a bit at the communion service last night. Jesus says to them, "Truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. But whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." So the spear goes into Jesus and out flows blood. Blood is, we know biologically, but also from the Old Testament, they thought of blood as being the life of the body. And the idea of drinking blood sounds really strange. Here's my 21st century version of what Jesus was saying. It's like a big blood transfusion. When you need a blood transfusion, you do not have the life in your body, but somebody gives you part of their life so that you can live. And on Good Friday, the blood of Jesus flows so that we can have eternal life. And when Jesus was talking about that and people said to him, "Well, what does God want us to do?" Jesus' reply was to say, "What God wants you to do is to believe in the one that he has sent." So today we come to believe. Today we come to receive life from him. The life flows from here. It flows from this day. Yes, on Sunday we will be here and we will be celebrating resurrection. But this is the moment at which Jesus' life flows into each one of us. And as Jesus dies upon that cross, John's gospel tells us that he cried out, "It is finished. Or perhaps a better translation, it is accomplished. It's done. Jesus saying, I've done everything that the Father has called me to do. So I invite each one of us today, whether it is for the first time or for the thousandth or the 10,000th time, today to say a big yes to the finished work of Jesus of Nazareth upon that cross, who laid down his life for us and whose life today flows into each one of us. That's the best way to celebrate Good Friday. And then come back on Sunday. And on Sunday we will celebrate that the one who had authority to lay down his life is also the one who has authority to take it back again. And he appears to his disciples. John also quotes Psalm 34 about not one of his bones being broken. We looked at that a few Sundays ago when we were talking about God healing the brokenhearted. And that sermon's online if you want to have a listen to it. But what the gospel is telling us is that as Jesus is there dying, the Father is intimately involved in what is happening. Yes, Jesus is suffering. Yes, he is being crushed. Yes, he is dying. But Psalm 34 promises that God is watching those who are brokenhearted and looking after them. And when John sees that Jesus' bones are not broken, he takes it as a sign that God is there. And God is there in the cross. And God is there in our suffering. And God is there in the suffering of the world. And the Father looks and he sees the life of his Son being poured out. And he looks at the human race today and he sees the life of many being poured out. Because Jesus expected that people were going to follow him. Today, let's say yes to this God. Let's say yes to this Jesus and receive the life that he has. You can do that where you're seated this morning. You don't need to come to the front. If you're not sure what we're talking about, have a chat with me or with somebody afterwards. This is really important. But may Jesus be glorified this day. And may we receive everything that he wants to give to us. Let's pray together. Father, we praise you for that flow of blood and water that came from Jesus on Good Friday. We praise you that the life was drained out of him so it could be passed on to us. So today we say yes. Today we say yes to that life. Lord, today, like anybody who's had a blood donation, we are incredibly grateful to the person who sacrificed, except this wasn't done in the clean, hygienic way that we do blood donations today. And Lord, as Jesus said, that if we believe, that streams of living water will flow from within. Lord, may that life flow within us. Lord, may we know that we are alive. May we know that Jesus lives in us today. Lord, today we accept the finished work of Jesus Christ upon that cross. To him be the glory and the power forever. Amen.